This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Much of this time, like, okay, news, we are, let's see, 80, I'm guessing, 85. 84 days. 84 days until
I was going to say
election.
84.
Shush. Do you have a countdown on your phone?
No, I just.
All right, genius, how long till Christmas?
88.
You think we're not going to get the results of the election until December 21st?
That's what I'm saying,
That's a frighteningly possible. That's probably. Look up when the Electoral College votes. It's like the week before Christmas.
That's exactly what I was referring to.
It is not. You forgot the Electoral College existed. That's not true.
I don't ever forget about the Electoral College. It's all I think about. Let's see. When do they vote?
I didn't know we were going to Google live on the air. I was just hoping you'd jump back in with the answer, or somebody would. Every day there is going to be a higher percentage of your mental headspace that the election is going to take up. Do you push back against that? I'm going to ask you questions while you're Googling, so you talk nonsense.
Yeah. yeah, I do, because it does take up more and more space in my head, and it makes me mad that it does. Because I've already decided who I'm voting for, and I don't want him to take up any more space. I get it already.
Are you more prepared to lose or more prepared to win?
What do you think?
I don't know.
I'm more prepared to win. You know that.
Well, that's what I would assume, but I don't want to be wrong.
Losing is not an option. Losers only think about losing.
Okay, so I am totally prepared to lose, and I will not know what to do with myself if Donald Trump wins.
Really?
Yes. He absolutely should win. I don't believe that we are headed towards a Trump loss, but I don't fully trust everything to go the way it's supposed to go. For whatever reason, read between the lines that you want to. I'm worried about how much these people in the system hate this man.
I understand that.
Take Jamie Raskin, for example, using the idea of January 6, 2021 to say, hey, you know what? You never know what could happen on January 6 of 2025. What the heck does that mean? Well, I know what that means. And I don't look at what is obvious and common sense right in front of me. And when I hear people talk about two things matter to them, border security and the economy and inflation. There is no way that those are the two main issues for voters in this country right now. And you're like, Kamala Harris is my girl. Like, there's no way that you're somebody who's going to participate in this election. And you're going to be more afraid of Donald Trump than you are thinking, I'd really, really like to get back to where I'm not struggling. Or I'd really like to get back where I get to take the vacation that I want to. I don't know in what normal chain of events that Donald Trump doesn't win this election. And the more I feel confident that he should, the more I'm worried that he won't.
Yeah, I understand that. But there's some hope here. One of the things that makes me very hopeful, and it's weird to say this as a person who's in the media, is that the trust in the media is at an all-time low. It's in like the teens when they poll people. And it has never been that low. Even 10 years ago, it was in the 20s and 30s. Now it's in the teens. So people don't trust what they're being told. That's great news.
Is it jarring to you when you see like something that is Trump support out in the wild when you're not watching TV, when you're not watching, if you're not in a place where you expect it? If you see something that's like pro-Trump, does it catch your attention?
Yes. Because it feels like, because of the media, everybody's on one side and you're the loner on the other side.
I'm glad you said that, Ryan, because you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. That is the way it feels. And that is the perception that they are counting on. And it takes an act of courage to display a message that goes against the forced assumption. So my son and his troublemaking MAGA hat, he'll like, I'll be like, come on, guys, get in the car. It's time to go. Blah, 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 blah. We get in the car and he's sitting in the back. He's like, Mom, you like my hat? And I look back and he's wearing his hat. And I'm like, yeah. So we went out to eat to a Mexican restaurant last Saturday evening. And we're leaving the restaurant and there's some outdoor seating. And this man, who I'm going to guess is 46 years old, big white guy, stands up and he looks at my son and he goes, so there's this like stucco partition where he was in the eating section and we were walking out of the parking lot to our car. And he stands up and he like makes a beeline to this half wall divider thing headed towards my son. And my son's just walking on the sidewalk and he goes, hey, come here. And I'm like 8 feet behind him. I go, you're not going to hurt him, are you? And he goes, and he just stuck his hand out and he was shaking my son's hand like crazy. He goes, he said some bad words. He was like, hell yeah.
But he said heck, right?
No.
Oh, and then he was hell?
Like,
ooh.
Then he was like, that's dang right. And I was like, and I was thinking, I might have to jump in here. My husband was there. He's got Molly in his hands. And we're just like watching this guy aggressively stand up and come to the wall in pursuit of my son. And I said that. I go, you're not going to hurt him, are you? And he just starts aggressively shaking my son's hand. He just goes, I got one of those hats. And I said to the guy, I'm like, you got to wear your hat. We got to do something. I'm not really a quiet person because I talk about this 15 hours a week, but I'm more quiet in my private life just because I don't want people to feel burdened by all of this that we're doing right here. But maybe I should reconsider that as well, because when you see it out, like if you see it out in the open, it captures your attention. You'll think about it for the rest of the day. You'll be like, that was cool. You'll tell somebody about it. Oh, I saw a guy in Walmart today wearing a Trump shirt. I was going to say Target, but probably not.
Nah, not even Target. You know what's funny? I've seen more teenagers in the last few months wearing Trump stuff or just kind of like Americana stuff, but really a lot of Trump stuff too, than I've ever seen before. Usually you see teens, if they're politically engaged at all, they're doing stuff that's like very anti-establishment. And guess what? That is what that is now.
Katie says on YouTube, walking into Sam's Club in Illinois, I saw a guy wearing a MAGA hat. I felt absolute joy. It's a great reminder that I'm not the only one supporting Trump. And the thing about that is that feeling of joy that you will truly have when you see somebody out there making that statement, you're not thinking to yourself when you see that hat, like, I got to get a hat. I got to wear that too. You're just thinking inside going, I'm not by myself.
Yep.
So the people who are comfortable enough with it, I think that the greatest thing you can do is wear a MAGA hat or do something that shows that you are not afraid to say that you support Donald Trump, but don't make your day be about it. Don't go through your day, like, don't be going through Sam's Club and like just walking up and down the aisles, tipping your hat to everybody to be like, am I right? You can't do that, but you can go pick up your bag of pretzels at Sam's and walk around with your head held high and just buy your pretzels and leave. Because when you do that, you are literally going to cause people to tell people that they saw somebody who supported Donald Trump in Sam's. Is like, what did we do?
Costco's like, you could walk around in here too.
Yeah, Costco's probably got him out front. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we have to move past what the left has so successfully put upon us, which is not that they have better ideas. They don't even have to print their ideas as policies on their campaign websites because it doesn't matter. Their policy is that they're not Donald Trump. And their policy is that if you are for Donald Trump, you are a racist. You are a bigot. You hate people. Your very existence as a human being, if you support Donald Trump, should be in question. That's the way they feel. That's the way they make you feel. To them, it is the only thing that matters. It all revolves around Donald Trump, which is exactly how he likes it. And that can be frustrating, too. But if you're standing up for support for Donald Trump, if you're willing to show that to people, they don't get to define what that means for you. Not only can you not see, like, they have the same standard. You can't even look at those people and assess a gender of somebody. Don't make them be in a position where if they see your hat that they automatically, well, that's a racist right here. I mean, the things we're not allowed to see and assume about other people, biologically speaking, and we won't wear a hat or a t-shirt or something that says, I'm with him. Then they win. The quieter that they keep us, the less they have to actually get to the point where they're actually talking about what they want to do. They literally don't believe they have to talk about what they're doing right now. And yes, I know she's been campaigning for 26 days. You think she hasn't been thinking about this moment from the first time? Oh, we did it, Joe. She's been thinking about this for a while. She knows exactly what they're going to do. And the reason why she has the luxury of not having policies on her website for 27 days now that she has been running for office, the reason she doesn't have that luxury is because the left-leaning media, they're in on it. They're supporting her. They think it's a good idea. Don't define yourself. If you pick a policy, there are going to be people who don't like it. If you start putting policies on your website, do you have to put foreign policies on your website? Do you have to decide if you're going to back Israel? Do you have to decide if you want to free Palestine? Do you have to decide if you're supporting an arms embargo on Israel if you were to get elected? That's why she doesn't have policies on there. And nobody wants to ask her the question. Nobody wants to force her to answer because the answer is going to cause problems in the electorate. And they don't have to. Nobody's pressuring them to get on record with anything because we don't even have to have the conversation because the people who support Trump don't even want to have the conversation or invite the conversation. And I put myself at the front of that list. I'm hesitant to do it. You feel like if you put the MAGA hat on that you're basically just walking around giving the bird to everybody. Yeah. Isn't that what it feels like?
Yeah, it does. You know, if you just put a hat or a shirt on or something like that, and I don't just mean a MAGA hat, I just mean a shirt in general. No, I'm just kidding. If you put a MAGA hat on, you know that you're stepping into like the public sphere. Instead of just, I'm going to make a run to the grocery store, I'm stepping out and I'm saying something to everyone who sees me.
And then when you wear that hat, find out how many people encounter you and wink at you, nod at you, say, love your hat, quietly as they pass by you, or just kind of nod or a smile. Count how many people say something to you about it versus how many people lose their stuff on you because you dared wear a red hat in their presence.
I wore in 2022, going into the midterms, I wore a shirt from a random state Republican that was running in Illinois to Walmart because I wasn't thinking about it. I just put the shirt on because I was running an errand.
Was it Kevin Schmidt?
It was Jen Cordy.
Oh.
And I wore her shirt to Walmart, and I'm not kidding you, I got stopped by probably, it was late, there wasn't anybody in there. Half of the people in the store stopped me and said, hey, I support her. No kidding. There are people out there who are willing, they're not wearing anything, but they're glad to see that you are.
Yeah. And if you saw, if you went into Walmart, or if you went into Ruler Foods or wherever you do your grocery shopping and you saw two people wearing Trump hats, would you think, I kind of want a Trump hat. I kind of want to wear it. You remember the, who was it that said, was it you that had talked to people who employed the Annie rule for mask wearing, or was that you? Somebody, I think it was you, said that some people stopped you and talked to you about it. But what I would do is I just quit wearing masks in the stores, but I would have one with me. And if people asked me to wear it, I would usually oblige at some point. But nobody ever asked me to wear it.
Yeah.
I was that a-hole walking around, you know, in some people's minds in the store, not wearing a mask. But yeah, I wasn't wearing a mask. Like, you wouldn't ask me to wear it if you were officially from the store. And I need something from that store. I wasn't going to cause a ruckus. I wasn't going to try to change Walmart's policy because they're not going to listen to me. But I was also going to make them make me for a while. And I would see people see me and pull their mask down to smile and take their mask off. Like, by the time I saw them in the next aisle, they weren't wearing their mask.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to, we have to be leaders on this. We're the people who are plugged in. We're the people who understand the policies, the difference, the what's at stake in this election. We have to be leaders, and you can do this without saying a word. And if you wear the hat in public and someone says something ornery to you, all that we have discovered is that that person is ornery. they don't know anything about you other than the fact that you don't think that Kamala Harris is the right solution for this country. And I'm sure if they wanted to have a conversation with you, you could tell them policy-based why without having to call her names or insult her. But the worst thing that could happen, the absolute worst thing that could happen to the Kamala Harris ticket is that people start feeling comfortable saying, I'm voting for Trump. The more, every person who does that, it's like Hydra. All of a sudden, they start popping out of everywhere. And it is the worst thing that could happen to them because they rely on our silence. So don't be quiet. You don't have to be loud and obnoxious. I wish I had a MAGA hat that I could put on right now.
Yeah, that'd be the perfect end of the video. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's going to be this.
You point to your hat. What's that hat for? What does that M stand for?
I think it's a golf hat.
You don't know?
Uh-uh. I got it at a golf store, so it's probably for golfing.
You bought a hat at a golf store and you don't even know what it means?
I think, I always want to say Thomas Massey, but I know that is not the name brand.
Just make it be that.
It's something close to that,
it's
though.
It's from the Kentucky legislators' golf line. Oh, man. Let us know on the chat if you wear Trump stuff or if you've been nervous to wear Trump stuff.
Or if you know what this is.
Or log in and tell him who he's repping right now. Repping.
Please, because I really don't know.
Rep Tom Massey.
Thomas Massey. Oh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, I was right.
We'll be back. Encourage you to check out the Annie Fry Show podcast. How many clips do you put up on the podcast every day?
9.
Wow.
Roughly, yeah. Something like that. It's always around there.
Except they can listen to 9 clips.
Yeah. And
the whole show.
Yeah, the whole show, or you can listen by hour if you just love 1 hour and you're like, I want to listen to that hour every day for some reason. That's there. And then there's every interview that you do becomes its own podcast if you just want to listen to one person. And then a lot of times it's one other random clip that was good, you know.
Hopefully.
The crap, I don't even, I just X that out.
I was going to say, if we don't do anything good during the show, do you just try to pick the best of, or do we just move on?
We just move on.
Good.
Yeah, like this segment, gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
Toast. We don't even have to talk.
You'll never hear it again, unless you get the full show.
You know, that's something that we, let's just take it out of there too. That's something, if you go to anniefryshow.com, you can, it's our new website, and it all points back to your ability to listen to any type of podcast stuff that we do, that Ryan's talking about, that we do on the show at anniefryshow.com. You can watch a show on YouTube, but you can scroll to the bottom and there's a gigantic playlist here. And is this Warren Buffett wants to stop you from being poor? That's from today already.
Yeah, I've already got some stuff from the
first
hour.
You work really fast. Is that just because it was your segment?
It was because there was no interview in the 12 o'clock hour, so Wiggins America took the cake. And yes, to answer your question,
I forgot to tell you, the podcast is just the Ryan talking points of the whole show.
Yeah, it'll say, great first hour, and then here's a bunch of quotes from Wiggins, in the description. Are these great points?
It's the best of.
Yeah.
I created this website so that you can easily access stuff with the show. If you're looking for it, it's going to be on this website. And I know that I feel like people don't dabble in podcasts. You either podcast or you don't. Is that right? Would you consider that to be?
Yes, but there are more and more people becoming podcasters.
Dabblers?
No, they're not dabbling. That's my point. You're right.
Jumped in.
They're jumping in. Yeah.
And if you listen to the player that is at AnnieFriesShow.com, you have access to everything that you would end up having wherever you get your podcast from as well. So I encourage you to go to AnnieFriesShow.com. And then we also have at the very top of the page a way to contact the show. And I can't stress enough how much people are asking John and Marcellus to contact the show. Those two callers that we had that one day that were talking about being members of the Black community and wanting to explain to more people in their community why they are voting the way they are, and also some of the drawbacks, some things that maybe are making it harder for that to happen. John and Marcellus both, we have those, I believe, both calls on our YouTube Shorts, so you can watch those as well. But people really want to hear them, and I want to have them in. And if they're interested in it, if you go to AnnieFriesShow.com, you can, if you're listening, you can contact the show. If you know John and Marcellus, tag them in this. And then there's also the feedback portion of that website at AnnieFriesShow.com. You can click that, and it's a quick form. You can give us your thoughts on the show. I don't know. One of the questions in the feedback thing is asking here, would you say the Annie Fry Show is positively or negatively unique or different from other competing audio? That's the thing. There are a billion different things you can listen to right now. And our challenge is to do it in a unique way. That doesn't mean that any other person's way of doing it is wrong. But if we're doing, I feel like conservative talk radio has a cadence to it. So you can kind of listen to, you could go city to city to city and listen to some smaller station talk radio format. I mean, we have had such a storied success with 97.1 24 years in October, I think.
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, we're the legacy conservative talk station in St. Louis, but in those 2+ decades, the amount of options that you have for audio right now to be able to, you know, you could just, I listen to Fox News and Sirius XM in my car from time to time. Like I can listen to that. That's an alternative. And we know that you have options. And so we always want to try to do something specifically on the show, because that's the only place I get to put my fingerprint specifically. We try to do things that are unique and different. And one of those things is we don't do that many interviews.
Comparatively, no. You know, the other thing that's very interesting is that, and I drive around, we take road trips and stuff, and I like listen, especially if I'm alone, if I'm not with the family and I'm on a road trip, I'll listen to smaller market radio. And sometimes, you know, you go through a big city, listen to what they've got. It is a lot of syndication. And the fact that we middays are a local show.
Still.
Yeah, but it's awesome. I mean, because it's becoming less and less common.
Syndicated is cheaper to operate.
Yep.
Because fortunately for the three of us in here, we all draw a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it might look glamorous from the outside looking in. We work hard. We get compensated for that. I mean, obviously we keep coming back to work, so we still need the next paycheck. But it can be easier to flip a midday show than a drive time show. I think with our show specifically, we have such great relationships with businesses that want to be a part of what we're doing that we have been grateful to be able to partner with, that help keep us on the air and justify that we've got a great audience out there. But we always need to be looking for ways to be better. I think it's easy to get complacent, and I really am interested in getting better, probably to a fault.
Yeah. You try really hard to get better. I try really hard to keep us where we're at. And so it kind of balances out.
Yeah, you're just trying to talk about chemistry.
No, I'm not talking about chemistry as much as I am just sort of lethargy.
No.
I want to brag on the show a little bit, though. Like, it's because people are connected. Like, we're here because we're doing well. And I'm not going to get into, like, a lot of specifics, but we get numbers and things, and it's all thumbs up. Like it's going well. So we appreciate that.
That's true. But that it's also very fleeting. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the feedback form. So here's something, I'll give you an example. And if you've ever wanted to influence what we do on this show or suggest something for the show, this feedback form, there's lots of opportunity for you to say whatever you want and I will have to read it. The taking calls specifically is something that people say they really enjoy when we do take calls, and they would like to hear that more. And I'm not averse to taking phone calls at all. I've been a student of talk radio for, I've been employed in talk radio since August of 2006. And I did 3 years of sports talk radio before getting into news talk radio. I've been with 97.1 since February of 2009. So I have paid attention to a lot of talk radio. And when you open the phones for callers, it's pretty much the most important thing you can do, because it's how you connect to the people who really matter, and the people who really matter are you. But if you do it in a way that lets a few callers define the whole bunch of it, then I feel like it can be a detraction of the audience that is out there. Because for every one person who calls, there are literally thousands of people who aren't. So the difficult balance there is for me to make sure that I open the phone and have meaningful conversations for the whole, and not conversations that just satiate one person's soapbox, or that satiate like my own personal need to try to like, you know, punch him right back in the face. A good back and forth is always entertaining to listen to. I am pretty good at back and forth, but I don't want, like, the whole purpose of the show is not to be combative. I want, if you are very left, if you are very liberal, I want you to be able to listen to this show, to be able to participate in our live chat, to be able to weigh in, to be able to see what the other side thinks without wanting to pull your hair out by the time you're done. And you know, various parts of the show might cause people to do that or less. Because if you're somebody who's on the left and you can handle listening to this because for whatever reasoning we're informative, and, you know, I kind of use that word loosely, like informative about what we think or informative about what's actually happening in the world, but also first and foremost entertaining. If I can get people who are on the other side of the aisle to listen to that, I might be able to get people who are in the middle to listen to that. And I think that that broadens the conversation. If you turn into a talk show and the talk show host is always talking about how stupid the other side is, I don't think that that does anything for the cause. I don't think that makes more people want to listen. And I also think that it's kind of rare to be able to turn on a talk show and not have that default combative nature. So we try to do it differently. And taking calls is really the best example of how it can be the greatest, but there's a fine line from opening up the phones all the time to where it becomes self-serving, either on the caller's part or maybe even my part.
And if you want to hear about how stupid liberals are, you can listen to Wiggins America.
Is that what you do? You just call them lunatics the entire time?
Yeah, and it's self-aggrandizing a lot, too.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
It's a good time.
Donald Trump called Kamala Harris a lunatic last night.
Oh, did he?
I want to know, what is the definition of a lunatic?
I'll tell you what. I know you're looking for that clip, but one of the things that he said last night...
No, just that mentally ill person.
It clicked for me. I was like, wow, that's really... And I don't know that he directly said this, but he said, you know, Biden couldn't do interviews, can't do press conferences. Kamala can't do interviews, won't do press conferences. And what struck me was he said she's actually worse than him. It's true.
Yeah.
He has Alzheimer's and can't do it because of that.
We suspect.
We think. She can't do it and is fine, but she still can't do it. That's incredible. That means that peak Biden is actually a lot better than peak Kamala Harris. And peak Kamala Harris is right now and she can't do it.
I can't. I always think about, you know, when you see those clips of Senator Joe Biden, how he's definitely his own man. Like the way he presents himself, he has a lot of charisma and a lot of personality. I always wonder what, if he were at that point in his life, given the opportunity to get a glimpse, you're going to be the president one day. And then they show him the third year of his presidency. Like, would he be happy or not?
Whew, that's a good question. Because personally, you'd have to go, oh, this is terrible for me.
I would be embarrassed.
But at the same time, you've achieved your dreams. but you didn't achieve them really on your terms.
I would see myself and go, how did this happen? If that's the way, I mean, I don't think that his prior self would look at him now and be like, I'm in my best form. I don't think he would think that, but how would you think you got to that place? How would young Joe Biden believe that he rose finally to the position of president of the United States, seeing himself? Because nobody would be more critical about what that looks like. I mean, can you imagine seeing your old feeble self as a young man
really,
right now?
It'd be really tough.
It'd be really hard.
Yeah.
And I just think about, like, his aspirations to be the president of the United States are decades long. That to see how it finally came to be, I almost wonder if it's worth it for him personally.
Yeah. I mean, even as a politician, I wonder if he, as a 1987 senator or whatever, would look at what he had done to the country. Just one issue, just the border. Let's just say immigration. If he would look at his own immigration policies and think, what have I done? Why would I have done that? Because he didn't believe that then. And I don't know
that he's changed on.
And I don't know that he really has a grasp of what he's done now either. That's the problem.
Maybe it's because he's not the one doing it.
Yeah.
One other thing about the calls, there's a comment here that says the calls are curated. Everybody gets that, I believe. I mean, you guys can witness this. Mm-hmm. We open the phone lines. They usually fill up right away. Mm-hmm. If I open the phone lines before we go to a break, we usually get two or three over the break. And then when we come back and I say the numbers again, they fill up. And I don't leave many people hanging. I get to as many as I can. Sometimes there are time constraints or whatever. But, you know, we screen the calls to make sure that it's appropriate to put on the air, mm-hmm. and that the person has their faculties to be able to come on the air and make a quick point. And that the other thing is that they're on topic. Like when I open the phones on this show, I'm going to give you a very specific question that you're calling in about. And it's not really like an open line thing where you can call in and talk about whatever you want. I find as a listener, those to be very disjointed. And usually it's a soapbox after soapbox after soapbox thing for people. And I want to keep it moving so that everybody can get in. But I'm not talking to people that have certain viewpoints on purpose. In fact, if you are opposite me, we have callers who call in regularly who are opposite of me, and we have fine conversations. Mm-hmm. So trying to do more of those open lines on Friday. Or, you know, a specific question that we pose to you on Fridays and maybe Mondays, depending on how the guest list shapes up. That is something I have taken from that feedback form that y'all want to hear more calls, and I am happy to oblige on that. So if you would be so kind, go to AnnieFryShow.com. It probably might take you 10 minutes to fill out that form, maybe faster. I mean, most of the stuff is like check a box and that's it. I would love to hear from you. Tell me what you love. Tell me what you don't love, and we just use that information to try to do the best possible show we can for you. Let's take a quick break. Let's answer this question ourselves when we come back. Are you better off now than you were under Trump? That's the YouTube live chat poll for today. Jackie says no. Gas is still 50% up. Food up. Illegal crossings up. We are less safe. There is more censoring. Election integrity is down. Wars are up. Coup is up. That's pretty detailed there. Sheepdog says, no, unless you run an NGO getting money for illegals, you're just hanging on. Woo! Paul says, my life is better post-Trump administration because the Biden administration more closely reflects my perspective culturally, monetarily, and climate science directives. There's more to that, but I guess it just went too long for the thing to cover it. Janine said, my husband and I are doing well because of choices we have made in the past, as well as a lot of hard work, but we would be doing amazing if Trump would have won the second term. Like, retire early. If you put your retirement off because of the economy, that is something people are facing. Go vote. Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. So the YouTube live chat poll for today, are you better off now than you were under Trump? Yes or no? I really like that last comment that we read, and I lost the name of it there. But the idea that you're not struggling to the point now where you can't make it compared to how well you could be doing right now. Like, you got to think of it as a trajectory. Do you feel like you've continued? You would hope that 4 years later, you would be doing better exponentially by the year, just because you're working in a job that you have grown in, that you're maybe getting a 3% raise in, and that you're maybe getting more opportunities in. And I think that she had said, we had hoped to retire early, we're not out on the streets right now, but we're not able to do the things that we had hoped that we would do by now.
Yeah, she said because of good decisions in the past, the trajectory was that we'd grow like this. Now we're growing like this. It's still growing, but it's not the line graph has gone down a little bit, yeah. And that's unfortunate. To answer this question, I'm assuming we're going to do that here.
Yeah.
I am paying more for everything.
Everything.
Everybody's paying more for everything. So in that sense, I'm not doing better. But just like that listener, because I've invested in the right things at the right time, real estate, well, guess what? Nobody can buy a house because the price of real estate shot through the roof. If you invested in real estate at the right time, you're actually on paper at least doing better. So in a sense, I'm doing better because of that. But it's one of the only...
You're doing better in some ways because other people are doing worse.
Are doing worse. Yeah. And that's terrible. Real estate is an inflation safe haven. A lot of people have run to that in the last few years. But if you didn't do it at the right time, you're stuck in the same boat as everybody else.
So is your answer yes or no?
My answer is actually yes.
Kurt says, in what way could I possibly be better off? I'd really like to know from anyone some concrete ways they think I should be better off. There is no conceivable way that I could be better off now. What do you think, Brad?
I can definitely say without a doubt that I am not better off now. One of the best example that I can give is under Trump, my wife and I were making enough money that we had enough money left at the end of the month that we could pay extra on our house. We were paying our house off early. We were on schedule to pay it off early. And then whenever you get rid of that debt, you've got a lot of financial freedoms. You can do a lot of investing and that sort of thing. I started here. I got a significant raise from starting here, and I've gotten raises since initially getting this job. So my salary's gone up. But I feel like I'm just treading water, and I may not even be treading water because I'm looking at like you said, Ryan, the price of everything has gone up. And not only that, because the price of everything has gone up, the amount of my raise hasn't kept up with the inflation. So we're not able to pay down our house now. We're not paying early on our house. We're paying our student loan debts. We're just kind of making the payments now. So we're not getting ahead. We're not on the street. But like Annie said, you don't want to just do okay. You want to get ahead. And by all metrics, I should be getting ahead because I got a better job with better pay and all that other stuff. There's no doubt in my mind, too, that if I would still have my mowing business, that my mowing business would be under right now. It would have been out of business because of the cost of everything.
Or you'd be charging $100 a yard.
Yeah.
And people don't buy it because they can't afford it either. And then, like
it's it's really a luxury business. So, like, people can't afford to pay somebody to mow their own lawn, so they'll mow their own lawn.
Doug says, depends on the way you look at it. My salary is notably higher, but it's due to a new role, and it's offset by the increased cost of everything. So neither better nor worse off. And you know, if you're 4 years into this and you haven't gotten anywhere, that's frustrating, especially when you can see things in place that are potentially hindering that progress. And, you know, the thing I have to always remind myself about when I'm considering all of the elements that go into like, oh, where am I in life? Am I giving it everything I have? Like, is what I'm getting out of life reflecting the effort I'm putting into it? And it takes a lot of effort right now to feel like you're getting out of it what you're putting in. When you look at the people making the decisions right now, they repeatedly tell you that If you look at Kamala Harris specifically, she's on record with this many, many, many times. She doesn't look at your success as something that should be left up to you to measure if it's enough. She sees you as one part of a collective. These are her words. She sees you as one part of a collective. And if you get too far ahead and somebody around you hasn't gotten up to par, that's a you problem. And if you elect her, she'll fix that problem. Now, one person in that equation might feel pretty good about that instance, while the other person is going, hey, why would you take from me what I've worked hard for, what I've earned, and just hand it over to somebody else? I mean, it's really that simple. And that is the promise of Kamala Harris. We're not even scratching the surface of the type of socialism-like economic policies that if Kamala Harris were queen, she would want to implement.
They already have credit score communism. We talked about it about a year ago. It's taking from people who've earned a good credit score and giving to people who've earned a bad credit score.
To that make is mortgages still, more accessible.
That is still in place today.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just the start.
That's exactly right.
Of what Kamala Harris would like to see implemented. Her choice for vice president encouraged neighbors to call and tell on other neighbors if they were getting out of the COVID lines that he had specifically drawn around their homes. He created a snitch line for Minnesotans to tell on each other in the event that they got out of line of the rules that he imposed upon them. And then he goes and stands in front of an audience and tells people like you and me to mind our damn business. J.D. Vance, please steal his line. Throw it in their face over and over and over again. It's ripe for the taking. We asked you on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, 335 votes. Holy smokes.
Nice.
That's high for us. 335 votes today. Are you better off now than you were under Trump? 87% of you said no. That's the message, Mr. Trump. That's the message, Senator Vance, that needs to be hit on every time you have the opportunity to speak to the people. They don't feel good about it right now. Then tell us the solutions. Tell us what you're going to do. Tell us about future. That's what we want. Mark Reardon on 97.1 next. If you put your retirement off because of the economy, that is something people are facing. Go vote. Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. So the YouTube live chat poll for today, are you better off now than you were under Trump? Yes or no? I really like that last comment that we read, and I lost the name of it there. But the idea that you're not struggling to the point now where you can't make it compared to how well you could be doing right now, like, you got to think of it as a trajectory. Do you feel like you've continued? You would hope that 4 years later you would be doing better exponentially by the year, just because you're working in a job that you have grown in, that you're maybe getting a 3% raise in, and that you're maybe getting more opportunities in. And I think that she had said, we had hoped to retire early. We're not out on the streets right now, but we're not able to do the things that we had hoped that we would do by now.
Yeah, she said because of good decisions in the past, the trajectory was that we'd grow like this. Now we're growing like this. It's still growing, but it's not the line graph has gone down a little bit, yeah. And that's unfortunate. To answer this question, I'm assuming we're going to do that here.
Yeah.
I am paying more for everything.
Everybody's
paying more for everything. So in that sense, I'm not doing better. But just like that listener, because I've invested in the right things at the right time, real estate, well, guess what? Nobody can buy a house because the price of real estate shot through the roof. If you invested in real estate at the right time, you're actually on paper at least doing better. So in a sense, I'm doing better because of that. But it's one of the only...
You're doing better in some ways because other people are doing worse.
Yeah, and that's terrible. Real estate is an inflation safe haven. A lot of people have run to that in the last few years. But if you didn't do it at the right time, you're stuck in the same boat as everybody else.
So is your answer yes or no?
My answer is actually yes.
Kurt says, in what way could I possibly be better off? I'd really like to know from anyone some concrete ways they think I should be better off. There is no conceivable way that I could be better off now. What do you think, Brad?
I can definitely say without a doubt that I am not better off now. One of the best example that I can give is under Trump, my wife and I were making enough money that we had enough money left at the end of the month that we could pay extra on our house. We were paying our house off early. We were on schedule to pay it off early. And then whenever you get rid of that debt, you've got a lot of financial freedoms. You can do a lot of investing and that sort of thing. I started here. I got a significant raise from starting here, and I've gotten raises since initially getting this job. So my salary's gone up. But I feel like I'm just treading water, and I may not even be treading water because I'm looking at like you said, Ryan, the price of everything has gone up. And not only that, because the price of everything has gone up, the amount of my raise hasn't kept up with the inflation. So we're not able to pay down our house now. We're not paying early on our house. We're paying our student loan debts. We're just kind of making the payments now. So we're not getting ahead. We're not on the street. But like Annie said, you don't want to just do okay. You want to get ahead. And by all metrics, I should be getting ahead because I got a better job with better pay and all that other stuff. There's no doubt in my mind, too, that if I would still have my mowing business, that my mowing business would be under right now. It would have been out of business because of the cost of everything.
Or you'd be charging $100 a yard.
Yeah.
And people don't buy it because they can't afford it either. And then, like
it's really a luxury business. So, like, people can't afford to pay somebody to mow their own lawn, so they'll mow their own lawn.
Doug says, depends on the way you look at it. My salary is notably higher, but it's due to a new role, and it's offset by the increased cost of everything. So neither better nor worse off. And you don't, you know, if you're 4 years into this and you haven't gotten anywhere, that's frustrating, especially when you can see things in place that are potentially hindering that progress. And, you know, the thing I have to always remind myself about when I'm considering all of the elements that go into, like, oh, where I am, where am I in life? Am I giving it everything I have? Like, is what I'm getting out of life reflecting the effort I'm putting into it? And it takes a lot of effort right now to feel like you're getting out of it what you're putting in. When you look at the people making the decisions right now, they repeatedly tell you that if you look at Kamala Harris specifically, she's on record with this many, many, many times. She doesn't look at your success as something that should be left up to you to measure if it's enough. She sees you as one part of a collective. These are her words. She sees you as one part of a collective. And if you get too far ahead and somebody around you hasn't gotten up to par, that's a you problem. And if you elect her, she'll fix that problem. Now, one person in that equation might feel pretty good about that instance, while the other person is going, hey, why would you take from me what I've worked hard for, what I've earned, and just hand it over to somebody else? I mean, it's really that simple. And that is the promise of Kamala Harris. We're not even scratching the surface of the type of socialism-like economic policies that if Kamala Harris were queen, she would want to implement.
They already have. Credit score communism. We talked about it about a year ago. It's taking from people who've earned a good credit score and giving to people who've earned a bad credit score.
To that make is mortgages still, more accessible.
That is still in place today.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just the start.
That's exactly right.
Of what Kamala Harris would like to see implemented. Her choice for vice president encouraged neighbors to call and tell on other neighbors if they were getting out of the COVID lines that he had specifically drawn around their homes. He created a snitch line for Minnesotans to tell on each other in the event that they got out of line of the rules that he imposed upon them. And then he goes and stands in front of an audience and tells people like you and me to mind our damn business. J.D. Vance, please steal his line. Throw it in their face over and over and over again. It's ripe for the taking. We asked you on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, 335 votes. Holy smokes.
Nice.
That's high for us. 335 votes today. Are you better off now than you were under Trump? 87% of you said no. That's the message, Mr. Trump. That's the message, Senator Vance, that needs to be hit on every time you have the opportunity to speak to the people. They don't feel good about it right now. Then tell us the solutions. Tell us what you're going to do. Tell us about future. That's what we want. Mark Reardon on 97.1 Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.